Guys, if you would, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we will be going through verse 4 through 11. Spiritual gifts and unity in diversity. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversity of activities, but it's the same God who works in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another different kinds of tongues, and to another interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Remember, we've entered a new section in Corinthians, chapters 12 to 14. We're looking at the work of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ. 12 will be the work of the Holy Spirit in the body of Christ as He bestows gifts upon the members of Christ and how those gifts are going to work corporately. Chapter 13 will be Christian graces flowing from love are more important than spectacular gifts. Chapter 14 lays down the principles that should govern our public assemblies. Okay, so here's some of the things we looked at last week just to get us up to speed. First, we looked at who the Holy Spirit is. We started looking at Him because if you notice, Spirit is mentioned several times in this portion of Scripture. So we looked at who He is and what He does. Remember what Jesus said to Peter, John, and the boys when He was about to leave. He said, "Am I going to leave you as orphans?" John 14, verse 15 through 8 says, "If you love Me, keep My commandments, and I'll pray to the Father, and He will give you another helper, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." The first thing we need to remember and to be encouraged in is the Holy Spirit's not an it. He's not a force. He's not an essence. He's not someone to be that can be manipulated. He is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. Look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. The second thing, the Holy Spirit is a person who has a threefold relationship with you and me. Remember John 14, verse 17. The Spirit of truth who the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. First, the Holy Spirit dwells with, prior to conversion, comes alongside and convicts us of sin. If we're saved today, it's because the Lord unleashed the Holy Spirit. Think about it. We were convicted. We came to saving knowledge of who Jesus is. Look at John 16, verse 7 through 11 later if you'd like. Secondly, the Holy Spirit takes up residence in us after conversion. "I will be in you." Ephesians 4:30 says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." He comes inside us. He gives us new spiritual DNA. We know when we're saved, just like we know when we're not saved, do we not? And just like a lot of times, we know when someone else is not saved because of the identification of the Spirit. And then thirdly, often overlooked, the Holy Spirit fills us and overflows us to impact the culture around us. He comes upon us. I shared this quote with you last week from Tozer, and I want to share it again. He put it this way: "If we really mean business, pressing on to follow the Lord, we'll be brought to the conclusion that that was His plan and part of the purchase of the blood of Christ, that He should fill everyone who names the name of Jesus. There isn't anything about the Spirit-filled life that isn't normal, strange, or queer. Actually, it's the way that Christians are supposed to be." And remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love. So when we're overflowing and our cup is overflowing onto folks, guess what, man? Jesus' love is flowing onto those folks. Because here's the thing. I had a conversation with a friend of mine Thursday, and his mom is kind of involved in let's say, this side of the spectrum. And this side of the spectrum is a little more exciting side of the spectrum. That's how I'm going to put it. Okay, and my friend's more along the spectrum of not quite in the middle, but okay, the Holy Spirit is the third person of the Trinity. He is a person. And yes, I believe you're sealed with the Holy Spirit now. Yes, but he's not quite in the middle. But see, his mom doesn't really believe he's seeking the Lord because he's not doing all this stuff right here. Okay? Now, this is interesting because before Paul ever starts really looking at these out in front sign gifts in chapter 14, he says the greatest gift is love. He bridges that gap. And that's it, man. When we're full of the Holy Spirit, I want us to understand something. The thing that's going to be evident is love. We also looked at this. This was the second thing we looked at, verses 1 through 3. And the key word was not to be ignorant of the spirituals. And how do we know if it is the work of the Holy Spirit? Verse 1 was, now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. Literally, it was spirituals. Gifts was added for clarity, but they originally simply meant spiritualities, referring to the entire realm of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. Remember that these guys were a gifted group of folks. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, it says this, you're enriched in everything in Him, in utterance and knowledge, even the testimony of Christ confirmed in you, and so you come short in no gift. They were gifted, but as we've seen, they were also a very carnal group of people. And really, at this point in time, Paul has dealt with the carnality, if you think about it, all the way up to chapter 12. And then he says, now concerning spiritual gifts, he's like, we want to move past the carnality, and I want to instruct you guys in what does it look like to be full of the Holy Spirit and walking in the Holy Spirit and ministering in the Holy Spirit. So he's now concerning spiritual gifts. Now the entire manifestation, what does that look like? It's almost as if he's saying, you know what, I've had enough of talking about all the carnality mess. Let's get over here and let's look at this. Yes. And he says, I don't want you to be ignorant. And being ignorant, it's not a bad thing unless we stay ignorant. You know, right now my son is ignorant of a lot of things because he just does not know. He doesn't know how to tie a shoe right now. He's not going to know how to tie. You know, who taught you how to tie your shoes? This was before Velcro. Okay, I'm old school. My dad's taught me how to tie my shoe. I didn't know how to tie. But until then, I wore boots. And I didn't even put them on the right feet, you know. I got the toes pointed out like this. It took me a while to get that. Until, and you know what, son, you got to put it on the right feet. But they're on and they're working. Yeah, but you're looking like a doofus. He didn't say that. I don't even know if doofus was a word back then in the 70s. But you get my point. I didn't know, now did I? Until I was instructed. Paul's like, I don't want you to be ignorant. I don't want you to miss out. I don't want you to miss out. I'm going to ask you a question. How many people are missing out because either they don't, I believe, have the correct view of who the Holy Spirit is and how He works? Because biblically, you know what? Paul lays out a very good outline of what that looks like. And that should be our centerpiece on the whole Holy Spirit and how He works. And we'll look at something here in a minute just to remind us of something last week. Some folks are just kind of stuck over here where, you know what? Holy Spirit's just kind of a little doctrinal statement hung up on the wall. He's not very active, you know. Maybe he was active when in the first century church, but right now we got the full canon of Scripture. You know, we're okay. All right? Now, we need balance. I know that I want to be full of the Holy Spirit because if I'm not full of the Holy Spirit, you know what? I'm really basically just full of myself. I'm not going to love my wife the way I need to. I'm not going to love my son the way I need to. I'm not going to love you guys the way I need to. And I think all of us feel that way. Secondly, in verse 2, don't base things of God on our previous background. And he says, you know that you were Gentiles and you were carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Before we came to saving knowledge of Jesus, Paul wants these guys to understand that their past pagan practices did not prepare them for an accurate understanding in who the Holy Spirit is and how spiritual gifts work. And in the same way, it can be very easy for us to have a poor understanding of the work of the Holy Spirit. Maybe based on past teachings, maybe based on past experiences, instead of what do the Scriptures say? Okay? What does the Scriptures say? You know, some folks think being led by the Holy Spirit is having some kind of formula, or it can have a materialistic view, right? That the Holy Spirit is just going to bless me with all these... You know, God has a unique plan for everyone in this room. And you know what that plan is? To deny ourselves, to pick up our cross and follow the Lord Jesus whatever that may look like, that He gets all the glory. How many times do you, you know, when people are over on this realm and it's this hyper excited thing, I've yet to meet one of these folks that do not believe that God's got this incredible, famous thing for them to do, to be put on a pedestal. I've yet to meet one of those folks that does not feel that way. And that's just not the way it is. The greatest thing that we could ever do is just do what He asks us to do. And you know what happens? Sometimes we look at that as that's a very little thing. But in God's eyes, I found it's a very huge thing. I had someone tell me this past week that a church of around 40 people or so really cannot impact the community. I don't believe that. I think that's kind of lame and that's kind of worldly. Especially when you look at Revelation chapter 3, and it talks about the faithful church that had little strength. But you know what? They were faithful to keep God's word. So don't tell me that, Nass. I don't believe that. But see, isn't that not what the world says? You know what? We could just be the big. You know what? We could be the biggest group of praying people calling on the name of the Lord, and you know it will impact this community. And that's the truth. Prayer changes things because prayer changes us, does it not, friends? And in verse 3, we looked at, thirdly, judge spiritual things on how they relate to Jesus. Do they glorify Jesus? Because remember, therefore I know to you that no one speaking to the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There was a rumor going around that if folks were speaking in tongues that they could possibly curse the Lord Jesus. No, you can't curse the Lord Jesus if you have been sealed with the Holy Spirit. In other words, you've come to a place where you acknowledge that He's Lord. And the Holy Spirit's not going to be cursing Jesus. Remember, the Holy Spirit's purpose is to magnify and glorify Jesus. So how do we know if it is of the Lord, if it is a work of the Holy Spirit? Then you know what? It'll be about Jesus. He'll come to the forefront and people won't be left with this impression of, wow, what an incredible person this was, or wow, what an incredible experience this was. They'll be like, wow, I saw Jesus clearly in a different manner for the first time. Matter of fact, Jesus said this about Himself when the Holy Spirit would come. He would testify of Me in John 15:26. But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send you to the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of Me. Jesus also said this of the Holy Spirit, it will glorify Him. John 16:14. He will glorify Me, for He will take what is Mine and declare it to you. So how do we know if it's a work of the Holy Spirit? Then our Lord Jesus Christ is getting all the glory. In discerning matters of spiritual gifts, remember to judge them based on how they relate to Jesus. Do they glorify Jesus? Do they promote the true Jesus or promote the false Jesus? And how do we know if it's a true or false Jesus? By God's Word. By His Word. What a blessing that we do have the full canon of Scripture. We've got plenty to weigh against. Okay? One last thing. In three of Paul's letters where he points to the gifts, Paul emphasizes the church as a body, and in each of those passages, he brought out the same important truths: unity, diversity, and maturity. Look it up for yourselves later if you'd like. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1 through 13, unity. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 14 through 31, diversity. And 1 Corinthians 13, 1 through 13, maturity. In Romans, where the gifts mentioned, Romans 12, 1 through 5, unity. Romans 12, 6 through 8, diversity. And then Romans 12, 9 through 21, maturity. And then in Ephesians, where the gifts are mentioned, or different gifts, Ephesians 4, 1 through 6, unity. Ephesians chapter 4, 7 through 12, diversity. Ephesians chapter 4, 13 through 16, maturity. See, it was been said the church at Corinth, they were like children with toys instead of adults with valuable tools. And they needed to mature. And as we see in a couple of weeks, maturity will manifest itself, I believe, in love. Right? So see, you can be an gifted, incredible individual, but not be that mature. And you know what? We've seen a lot of folks that are very gifted. And we're going to talk about this later on, but think about it. You're like, how on earth is the Lord using this person? They're so gifted. And sometimes we thought people were so gifted, and we're like, wow, they must have been so mature. But then as we got to know them, we realized, you know what? They wasn't that mature, but they were incredibly gifted. See, giftedness doesn't necessarily equal maturity. right? So let's look at this. The diversity and unity of the gifts. Paul lists 9 gifts here and other gifts elsewhere, as I just stated, Romans chapter 12, Ephesians 4. My friends, there is a diversity of gifts, but more importantly, and what we need to walk away with, there is only one giver of the gifts, God, who chooses to work through the diversity of gifts. Now let's look at verse 4 through 6, and let's look at this closely. There are diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's differences of ministries, but the same Lord. There are diversity of activities, but the same God who works in them all. First thing we need to see is the gifts are diverse, the ministries are different, and the activities are diverse, but the same Spirit, same Lord, same God doing the work through the gifts, the ministries, and the activities. The emphasis on the Trinity here in verse 4 through 6, same Spirit, same Lord, same God. See, guys, we may be individually gifted or given different ministries or ways of working those ministries, but it is the same God working in it to work it out when you think about it. Philippians 2, verse 13, for it is God who works in you both to do for His will and His good pleasure. The source of the gift, the spirit of administering the gift, and the energy to do it all comes from God. So why waste time glorifying men when it's all about the Lord? And secondly, why waste time being in competition when it's from the Lord? Think about that, man. And when we start looking at Christ as a body next week, there's really no room for competition or glorying in men. Oh, that guy's so blah, 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 blah. No, man, if the Lord is blessing through him, it's the Lord doing that. Or sometimes we see this within, I think we see it really in our country because, I mean, unfortunately, man, we are so competitive. I mean, we've been drinking that Kool-Aid for a long time. We're number one. Right? There's nothing wrong with being number one, I guess. But if we make our life just about being number one, that's just kind of a waste of time, isn't it? Because sooner or later, you get old, you get slow, you get broke down. I can remember, and this is like, I guess, 7 years ago, all right? When I was a kid, there wasn't none of this hanging out in the house, sitting in front of the TV, doing this, on Facebook, blah. There wasn't none of that mess. Okay? When I was a kid and it was summer vacation, my mom got up at 7 o'clock. We got up at 7 o'clock. Make that bed. Go outside and play. All right? There wasn't any such thing as heat when I was a kid. I'm cranking that BMX bike, building that fort, running around, doing this. I'm outside, right? Now, when you were a kid, for you guys who are my age or a little older, you remember those cheesy badminton sets that you could buy at Walmart, volleyball badminton set, you know? All right? Man, those were the greatest things ever, dude. Now, I liked badminton. I didn't like tennis. Because we out in the country. We didn't see no concrete for miles, all right? Dirt, grass, there was no concrete. Matter of fact, I just dreamed of riding my bike on concrete, seeing them old blacktop roads. You know what that's what happened to my rear, riding on that little seat. But to get one of those badminton things was the greatest thing. You know, the cool thing about playing with a badminton, it's a slower game, right? So you can hit that birdie and it'll fly and you could do this and do that. Man, when I was a kid, man, I was a badminton king. I'm serious, and I was competitive about it. And I was proud when my friends come over and I just give them a big old beat down, laugh in their face. But then about 7 years ago, all right, 7 years ago, I was over at a friend's house and this person had her nephew and he was like 10 or 12, all right? And he wanted to play badminton. And I'm thinking of 1982, all right? So I get ready to play him, and all of a sudden, I realize that, you know what? I'm 34 years old, My vision's is not as good as it was. My reaction time on a birdie is extremely slow. I'm just not moving like I did when I was a teenager. And guess what happened? A little 12-year-old beat me. Now here's the point of the story. Why get competitive about badminton? I'm just going to get old, I'm just going to get slow, and I'm just going to get broke down. Why allow competitiveness to come into the body of Christ when that's not what it's about anyway? It's not about being number one. It's about pointing to who is number one. And when the Lord Jesus Christ is showing to manifest Himself in the different gifts, then people, you know what, ought to be walking away with the fact that, wow, the Lord is so gracious that He blessed us with this teaching, or the Lord is so gracious that He blessed us with maybe this person who had the gift of knowledge at this point in time and met me exactly where I was at with what I needed to hear. God, You're so good. And we shouldn't walk away all puffed up, because you know what? Who gets puffed up over a gift? Right? It's a gift. It's a gift. Where was I at? The emphasis is on the Trinity. The emphasis on the Trinity, verse 4 through 6. Three more words to take a look at. Gifts, ministries, and activities. The word gifts, as he says, there are diversity of gifts. And we understand that. Spiritual gifts given to us to minister each other. The word ministries, though, is different. It says different ministry. The thought here is he's talking about maybe positions or offices such as apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastor, teachers, as Paul describes in Ephesians chapter 4. Paul makes it very clear here that there may be different offices, but it's the same Lord who grants the office and directs the service of the office. The Lord calls people and He puts people where He thinks they need to be put. You know what? That takes all the pressure off of us. Really. Have you ever worked somewhere and you've been promoted where you didn't really need to be promoted to? And you've been better off? You know what? My dad, he worked for Texas Utilities for 35 years. Okay? We ended up moving to Mount Vernon area because at that time my dad was working for TPNL. And basically what he was doing was framing outdoors somewhere at something they had. All right. And he got tired of driving from Malakoff, Texas to Dallas, Texas. And so when Texas Utilities, an opening or a way that he could make a transfer to Winfield to go to work there, and his game plan was we was going to move to Winfield because they were supposedly going to open a mind up around Malakoff, and then he was going to move back in a few years. So my dad gets the job in Winfield over on the north side. Well, actually, it was on the south side at that point in time. He starts off as a hauler operator. Hauler operator is those big trucks. You may see them if you've ever seen them. He starts out there. Then he moves from the hauler operator. He goes to a dozer operator, and he did that for several years. And then finally, he moved to the drag line, that big, huge crane that digs and strips mines. He starts at a pumper. And a pumper does everything the operator of the drag line does not want to do because it takes two men to run this thing. So a pumper may go down there and grease. A pumper may be painting and keeping this thing up. A pumper pumps water out when it rains. It's pretty hard work. And then eventually, a pumper also learns how to operate the equipment. So when you're working shift work and you're working 12-hour days and you're wore out and you're tired and you want to catch a nap, you let them get in and they dig because this is production work. And then eventually my dad was promoted to an operator. Now here's the point of the story. They kept trying to make him a foreman and tried and kept making him a foreman, and he didn't want it. And here's why. Well, A, he'd make more money doing what he was doing. B, he didn't want the responsibility. He knew what he was good at. See, sometimes in the body of Christ, we get the mentality of, well, it's a promotion type thing. That's not what it's about. It's just about serving where God has called us to serve. That's it. And it takes all the pressure off. And it gives us so much joy when we're doing what the Lord's called us to do. I can't find anything that brings me more joy when I know I'm doing what God asked me to do. And you know what? You guys know. I'm not telling you anything you guys don't already know. You know that as well in yourselves. So, the word activities. The word activities in the Greek is energemata, and I totally botched it, okay? Where do we get our words energy, energize, and energetic? It's the Lord's power as He pours it out in different ways. Friends, we can't get puffed up when God uses us. When it's the Lord who gives the gift, selects the service, and gives the power to do it. And remember, when we get puffed up, we end up being ununified. We won't be unified. How can we avoid being puffed up? And you know what? I've thought about this a long time. We keep it simple. We don't make it about the gifts. We make it about Jesus. We remember who He is. We remember what He has given us. And we're thankful for the fact that, wow, God, You allow me to be a part of Your plan. And I found the only way to keep that kind of satisfaction in my heart is to stay near to the Lord and stay near to the cross and remember, you know what, I'm just a sinner saved by grace. And it was God's grace that has kept me from a lot of things, Lord. And I want to thank You for that. Luke 3:22 says this, "And the Holy Spirit in bodily form, like a dove upon Him, and a voice came from heaven saying, 'You're My beloved Son, and in You I'm well pleased,' speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ. And is He not beloved? And is He not worth spending time with? And is He not worth being excited about?" When we keep things about Jesus, and this may sound incredibly simple, and it may sound incredibly Sunday schoolish, but it is truth. When we keep it about Jesus, you know what? It stays about Jesus. When we make it about our little thing or wanting to be about our little things, it's no longer about Jesus. It's about promotion of ourselves. And that should never be the case, friends. One day we're going to be in glory and we're going to see Jesus in all of His glory. And you know what? All those things that we just kind of did this, and we're like, oh, God, that was a waste of time when I could have spent worshiping You and seeking You and enjoying You. Verse 7 through 11. Remember, the gifts are not about us anyway. Look at verse 7. "But the manifestation," okay, "the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all." The manifestation of the Spirit is to each one for the profit of all. The Holy Spirit is always present in and among Christians. When people say, "Well, where's the Holy Spirit?" That's kind of a lame statement, right? Because in John 14:16, Jesus said, "I will pray to the Father and He will give you another Helper that He may abide with you forever." We know we're sealed. The Holy Spirit's here. But at certain times, He chooses to manifest Himself through the gifts of the Spirit. And if we list the gifts of the Spirit, 1 Corinthians 12, Romans 12, 6 through 8, and Ephesians 4, we'll see that there may be 19 different gifts and offices. But more importantly, understand the purpose of the manifestation of the Holy Spirit through the gifts is that the body is blessed, not entertained, not thrill-seeking, but blessed for the profit of all. I want to read something to you that I ran across. It's Oswald Chambers' personal experience with the Holy Spirit. "As a young man, Oswald Chambers, of utmost for his highest fame, battled persistent sense of barrenness in his Christian life. He finally wrote, 'I was getting desperate. I knew no one who had what I wanted. In fact, I did not know what I did want. But I knew that if what I had was all Christianity there was, the thing was a fraud.' Then Luke 11:13 got a hold of me. And at a meeting in Dunan, a well-known lady was asked to take the after meeting. She did not speak, but set us to prayer and then sang, 'Touch me again, O Lord.' I felt nothing, but I knew emphatically my time had come. I rose to my feet, and then and there I claimed the gift of the Holy Spirit and a dogged committal to Luke 11:13. I had no vision of heaven or angels. I had nothing. I was dry, as empty as ever, no power or realization of God, no witness of the Holy Spirit. Then I came to ask to speak at a meeting, and 40 souls came out in front. I came to realize that God intended me, having asked, to simply take it by faith, and that power would be there. I might see it only by the backward look, but I was to reckon on the fact that God would be with me. And from that point on, Oswald Chambers ministered with unusual power. His words, writing, touched people all around the world, and especially when he taught, as frequently as he did, his favorite verse was Luke 11:13. Oswald Chambers died in Egypt, by the way, from appendicitis attack. Now, understand something about it. Everybody knows who Oswald Chambers is now. But at the time of his death, only a handful of people really knew who he was. What's the point to all this? The Lord poured the Holy Spirit on his life, and it was the profit of everybody else. And he didn't even realize the Lord was working in him. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be? Jesus is getting all the glory, not us. Look at verses 8 through 11. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of tongues and different kinds of tongues, and to another the interpretation of tongues. Wisdom, the supernatural power to speak with divine insight, like Peter did in Acts chapter 6, verse 10. When he finished speaking, they were not able to resist the wisdom by which the Spirit had spoke. It's divine. You're just like, where did you get that? Well, I didn't get it from myself. The Lord gave it to me. Wow, I know that's from the Lord. That was pretty wise. What about knowledge? It's the power to communicate information that has been divinely revealed. You know what? Some of the most brightest folks are some of the most simple folks who just spend time with the Lord and get insight from His Word. They just have that knowledge. Why? Because they've just been spending time with the Lord. Divine knowledge. You know, sometimes maybe when you're teaching or sharing, all of a sudden the Lord just gives you this thing. And then you share it with this person. You're like, wow, that wasn't for me. That was from the Lord. And it was the exact thing that that person needed to hear to be built up and to be edified in Christ. Spiritual gifts. Faith. What about faith? Not saving faith, but the kind of faith the Lord gives to trust Him when things are impossible. Think of the great guys of faith, the great men of faith. George Mueller. Or Hudson Taylor. But you know what? What about the guy in San Antonio, Texas, Ron Harbaugh, who starts a free school, who starts a free medical clinic? That was just the gift of faith that the Lord gave me. He said, hey, this is what I'm asking you to do. And he said, okay, I'm going to go do it. The Lord gives that gift of faith. How many times has our spouses maybe been given the gift of faith and we didn't have it? And that's the only reason we went forward anyway. How many times within the body of Christ you've been discouraged and you've been beat down and you've been burdened, but someone with the gift of faith decides to come along and encourage you and they say, you know what? You can do this. What an incredible gift. It's encouraging when someone comes along with the gift of faith. What about healing? And you know what? That should not shock us. It's documented all through the Bible. What should shock us? Okay, what should shock us about healing is when people charge for it. That should shock us. You've got to be kidding me! Now, I'm not talking about doctors. I'm talking about those guys that set up and say, okay, come on in. I'm going to charge you at the door $20-$25 to get healed. Come on. That should shock us. Healing should not shock us, or miracles when the natural is overrun by the supernatural. Miracles are all through the Bibles. Now understand this, we know that in the early church we read about a great deal of healings and we read about a great deal of miracles. And we ask ourselves, well, why do we not see a whole lot of that? Well, I think, you know what? Maybe the stage we're at and God's time frame is we feel like we just got to be wowed. Those guys didn't need to be wowed. They were wowed by Christ. And any time that there was a healing performed, or any time there was a miracle performed, what did that lead to? An opportunity to share about Jesus. What would someone do with that gift if the Lord just poured that out? And then you know what? Think about this as well. Maybe we just don't hear about the miracles and the healings because those people are discerning enough to say, you know what? I don't have to talk about it. We don't know. There's people that get healed overseas all the time. People lay hands on them. Or what about that? You know what? I'll give you an example. This is how lame we are sometimes. I was at Calvary Chapel, Mount Pleasant, and in Malena, Dave's mother-in-law, was on a Wednesday night. She said she had a headache. Okay? Well, take some aspirin. Take some Tylenol, you know? Hey, can I pray for you? And I prayed for her, and her headache went away. But it's just a headache. In the whole grand scheme of things, cancer versus a headache. Is either one difficult for the Lord? No. What about what the Lord's doing with Diane? Sometimes part of the healing may be slower. Because you know what? The Lord is getting glory through the process. I believe that Carol was healed. You don't have a tumor the size of a basketball in you. That's a miracle. Stephen and Tricia, they shouldn't even be here. That's a miracle. Prophecy, the telling forth of God's message in a particular situation. Not preaching, because the Greek word for preaching is not used here. It's not about future telling, but as John Corson puts it, forth telling God's heart through words of edification, exhortation, comfort, at the very time it is needed. We're going to get to tongues and interpretation later on. We got about 3 weeks of that, so I'm not going to bore you with that, though it's not a boring gift. It's a very blessed gift if the Lord chooses to give. But you know what scares people off from asking for that gift is when we see all this stuff right over here on this side of the spectrum. It's a wonderful gift for being built up in the Lord when you don't know what to pray or how to pray, and the Lord gives you a prayer language. All right? We'll look at that later, though. But finally, we got to look at this, the discerning of spirits. The ability to tell between true and false doctrine, what is of the Holy Spirit and what is of not. Okay, if there was ever a need for some discernment in the body of Christ, it would be now. Can you? I'm not even going to name names. I don't even have to. You're already smiling and laughing, which tells me, you know what? We've got a lot of discerning people in here. Praise God. Get the word out. I mean, think about it. In the early church, you remember those two cats that came up and they sold the land? You remember that situation? Okay, Barnabas sells this land. Everybody's like, man, Barnabas, wow, man, that dude's legit. And then, you know, that couple decided, hey, we're going to sell the land and we're going to give the money, but we're going to keep back. But we're not going to tell them we're going to keep back. The husband shows up on the scene. Peter says straight up, sorry, you're lying. And then he drops dead, and then his wife comes in. And then, you know, what if that were to happen? You know, this guy closes his, he brings the Bible up here and waves it around like a magical wand and sits it down here and then just, you know, gives a basic win one for the Gipper speech. Didn't even open the Bible. You know what's sad? Dude fills stadiums. That's what's sad. That's scary. That's scary. When we in this country have so much access to good teaching, to resources, you mean to tell me some guy gets away filling a stadium? Scary. Which brings us to 2 Corinthians 11:14. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. If there ever was a need in the body of Christ for discernment, spirits, it would be now. And you know what? If the Lord gives you that gift and someone's talking about so-and-so and this and that, I don't think you just have to slice and dice them, okay? But in a loving manner, say, you know what? That really does not line up with what the Scripture's saying. I would encourage you to look at the Bible and weigh that thing out. Weigh that thing out. Verse 11, and we're going to finish. But one and the same Spirit works all these things. Okay, we're talking unity and diversity. Distributing to each one individually as He wills. At the end of the day, be blessed with what the Lord has given us. If that be gifts of the Spirit, certain gifts or offices He has given. And don't focus and hate on what others have been gifted in. Don't waste your time with that. Let's don't waste our time with that. We've got to move on from that. There's too many other things to be doing. Too many other things to be doing. See, the Lord chooses who gets what and who gets to do what. It's His deal. How many times have you just kind of scratched your head and you're like looking at this person and you say, Lord, why are you? How can you do that? It's not our deal. It's not our deal. It's the Lord's deal. He chooses. And I find that when I do that, and I make that my focus, you know what? I lose sight on what the Lord's gifted in me in and what He's called me to do. And I'm distracted from that. And you know who suffers because of that? The folks around me. That's what happens. We're all on the same team. The God gifts us uniquely different, so all the nooks and crannies can be filled. Everybody is important. Everybody. Everybody's important. We need to remember that. In Acts 13, verse 1, now the church at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, and it lists these guys, Barnabas, Simeon, Niger, some other guys. And as they ministered and saw, and as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I've called them to. Then they fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, and they sent them away. Isn't that what the body of Christ should be doing? Wow, that's what God's called you to do. I think that is what God's called you to do. Man, go for it. Wow, that's incredible. Well, wow, it turns into this thing. Well, wow, guess what? That's the God's kingdom extending and impacting. Wow, Lord, that's awesome. Incredible. Not every church is going to be a mega church, praise God. Not every church is going to be a Bob Coy situation. It's not going to happen. But does that mean that other churches that are smaller are less important in God's eyes? No. The only time that we need to be concerned about things is, you know what, when this is closed and it just becomes a magical wand, you know, hey, be happy, you know. You're going to get pray for a good parking spot at Walmart today. Lord wants to bless you with a good parking spot. Maybe you'll get that right cart. Hey, just pray the Lord give you that right cart that the wheel doesn't do this at Walmart and squeak. You got it? What about that old lady you pushed out of the way for it, you know? And anyway, just some of that dumb stuff, you know? Oh, I just sit around the house and I just prayed for a bigger apartment that I couldn't afford. Okay, whatever. I got to stop. But you see what I'm saying? The Lord, one more story, and I know I've gone way too long. My brother and I look identical as far as our face, but physically not so much. He's 5'8", 5'9", and he's broad. Okay, I'm 5'5". I used to be. I think I'm shrinking, but anyway, I'm like, you know, 150 or something like that. You know, you see me. Okay, whatever. I like to fix things up. I like to do that. My brother, he has no interest in that. Okay, so anyway, he's 16. My mom and dad are going to buy him his first car, and I find in Mount Pleasant a 1979 Toyota, four-wheel drive, straight axle front end. It was a long bed, pretty clean, straight body. The air condition works. It's a pretty clean rig. It just needs a few cosmetic things. And I'm thinking to myself when I stumble upon this, man, that would be some. Man, you could do this. I'm already envisioning in my mind what this thing could look like with a little TLC. So my mom and dad buy it for him and don't tell him. Okay. I drive it home, pull it in the yard, and he comes out. I mean, literally, he comes out and looks at it, and you tell his face that he just felt like he was just given the biggest piece of junk ever. He walks over there, looks around it, kicks it, goes inside, looks at it like this, slams the door, walks back in the house. He's kicked at the world. And I'm like, you ungrateful jerk. I am not believing that. They didn't, A, have to give you anything. And B, you're a spoiled brat. Shame on you. But no, really, shame on you, Mom and Dad, for raising him that way. Because when my dad gave me a 1976 Ford pickup, this is what he said. You tear it up, it's yours, you're done. I believed him. And this is what I'm witnessing? You've got to be kidding me. Go spank him. Here's my point. Here's my point. And I laugh every time I tell that story. And he gets mad every time I tell it. But I tell you what, man, he couldn't tear that truck up. He tried. I mean, he swamped that thing out. He couldn't tear it up. Anyway, here's the point of the story. How many times Do we act the same way in which the manner the Lord gifts us and what He calls us to? That's the point of the story. Man, I put time and effort. This is what I've called you to do. This was my vision. This was my heart for you. Man, from the very beginning of time, that you would fit perfectly in the body of Christ doing this. See, when we start looking at things from that perspective, it changes the way we minister. Because if the King of the universe, I mean, seriously, the King of the universe says, okay, wow, this is what I'm gifting you in. This is what I'm calling you to do. It's only yes, Lord, at this point in time, is it not? Is it not? So let's leave with this verse on our heart and with this thought that's going to accompany this verse this morning. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Everybody. God wants everybody to be blessed in His family. Beloved. And you don't feel loved today, I want you to know something. The Scripture says when He speaks about His kids, He calls them beloved. The gifts are given for the good of the whole church. They are not for our individual enjoyment, but for corporate employment. The folks at Corinth were using the gifts to promote themselves, not to prosper the church. Guys, when we accept our gifts with humility, then we will use them to promote harmony, and this helps the whole church. John the Baptist said this, remember, in John 3:30, He must increase and I must decrease. Let's fade into the background, let the Lord do what He wants to do. Let's fade into the background, let the Lord do what He wants to do. Let's fade into the background, let the Lord do what He wants to do. Let's fade into the background, let the Lord do what He wants to do. Let's fade into the background, let the Lord do what He wants to do. Let's fade into the background.